I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Here in the worst year ever, it's all happening, folks. Hello. Hi. How's
wow.
it going?
Ooh, hi.
Wow.
What?
Just incredibly impressed by that introduction, Katie.
The first one didn't go well, so I made the second one even worse.
Yeah, I was just going to shout out the name of Reinhard Heydrich, one of the architects of the Holocaust, which
sure.
would have been a bad and a professional call. So thank you for really knocking it out of the park.
I'm happy. I mean, that's a really high bar that you set.
I was
there.
Surprised that Katie didn't start by saying that. So
yeah,
I thought about it, but I figured that was more your vibe than mine.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is all happening. We were just chatting about how all the things that have happened since we last recorded, remarking on it, and then eased into this show where we're going to talk about some of those things, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I
love
stuff.
Talking.
Things are happening.
I used to think that I
allegedly.
Liked talking, but I the more I talk my way through this year, the less I like it.
If you think you like talking, start a podcast and you'll change your mind, everybody.
Sure. Let's talk about Donald Trump and his health.
So for this week, we kind of decided to talk about like politics and the election and things happening in the country, which I guess we keep getting drawn off into like very specific things because every single thing is happening this year. And this is going to be kind of a general update on some big things that have occurred. So we're going to talk about the president's taxes, and we're going to talk about COVID, and we're going to talk about some other important stuff that we should have talked about a bit earlier. But again, every single thing is happening every single day, and we're all completely overwhelmed.
Constantly.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean,
it's healthy.
It's so weird doing this show and even our news. Usually we have specific episodes here for Worst Year Ever or interviews, interesting conversations that separate it from our news roundup that we do every week. But weeks like this, I'm always slightly worried and then not worried at all because there's always more news. It just doesn't stop, obviously. Where should we start today then, guys?
I think we should start with you, Katie, because you are a professional.
Also, I feel like the thing that everyone is currently thinking about is will the president die or not?
Yeah. Will the president
Katie,
die or not?
Is the president alive still? Would be my
first
question.
He's currently still alive, as far as we can tell, but I'm eagerly waiting. Claudia Conway, and her updates on that, because she's our only true journalist, I guess. But let's back up, because in case you missed it, the president has the Rona. He has it. Finally. It took long enough. I mean, maybe he had it earlier, too. But who knows?
Who knows?
All right. First, we'll do a real quick... Oh, go ahead, Cody.
Oh, just... I mean, you're right. It is about time. I mean, since this pandemic started, the idea was, well, eventually he'll get it because he's so reckless. When is that going to happen?
All the other awful leaders have already had it, so it was his time.
Bolsonaro's had it like 9 times. So.
I mean, Boris almost died, so...
True.
Yeah, okay. Late on Thursday, news broke that the president tested positive coronavirus just 2 days after standing in pretty close proximity to Joe Biden. Anyway, this came after news that Hope Hicks had tested positive on Wednesday. And it seems that the president knew, or at least knew, that he had been exposed to the virus at the time of the debate. In fact, it's been reported that he arrived late at the debate and missed the mandatory rapid COVID test specifically because he knew he had been exposed. Very cool.
That's my favorite part, because they went by the honor system. I love that.
Yep, the honor system.
After 4 years of this, thinking that you could even say that. Just amazing.
It's unbelievable. Just amazing. Like taking it out of the world that we live in and who the president is and everything. The honor system for this deadly disease.
Like, I mean.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, and him. He also went on to do campaign events, potentially exposing countless other people. Also cool. It's unclear when specifically he contracted the virus. It could have been anywhere, or it could have been at the Rose Garden party / super spreader event held for Amy Coney Barrett last week. You know, his handsmaid tale pick to replace RBG. Yes. Okay. So far, I believe at least 13 people at the event have tested positive. That number's probably higher. That includes Melania, Kellyanne Conway, Chris Christie,
amazing.
Kayleigh McEnany, several amazing Republican senators who were on the committee to confirm Barrett. All of that could be its own episode about what the implications of that alone are and what's going to happen. But we're not going to focus on this too much. Except that, fuck, man. Uh-huh. And this list isn't even including the White House housekeeping staff or the members of the Secret Service who have also tested positive. I mean,
more aides, like just
more
like
AIDS.
Within the last
it's,
hour.
It's been
like,
a,
yeah, this person too.
The White House is an epicenter. Then on Friday, the president was admitted to a Walter Reed's hospital. Either out of an abundance of concern or because he was experiencing extreme symptoms. That part is unclear. can't trust anything anyone says. But
well, the one thing we know about Donald Trump is that he's always taking extreme caution.
Yes, yes.
He's a very cautious man.
Then there was all these confusing statements from his doctors throughout the weekend, which kind of ratcheted up the mystery. Statements like he isn't out of the woods and not currently on oxygen. On Sunday, he did a couple of bizarre stunts, like staging photo opportunities that show him working while actually looking at blank stacks of paper. And these photos were like taken apparently
amazing.
Like, 10 minutes
10
apart.
Minutes away.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Can I dart in for a second there?
Please do.
So, I mean, as a journalist, specifically one who works for Bellingcat, there's a number of different types of data that like images have that you look for if you're trying to like spot people slipping up. And one of the most obvious ones is like EXIF data. And you can hide that shit. Fair. It's not hard to not have that shit show through. There's ways to kind of deal with an image that doesn't come through if you're trying to be a sneaky person. They went through zero effort.
Yeah.
Just put it out real fast.
They're so incompetent and lazy. And
they're bad at everything.
It's maddening partly too, because it's like, are they incompetent and lazy, or do they just know it doesn't matter? Right? Like people will find out, they're like, oh yeah, this photo. But they're just still like living their lives. They're still doing all this stuff.
Yeah. He also, while he was there on Sunday, insisted on taking a ride in his motorcade, exposing his driver and his Secret Service just so he could wave to fans and show that he's okay.
Pathetic.
It turns out, however, that Trump had insisted on being released on Sunday, but they said no and then compromised and settled for this little drive. It's kind of like my Aunt Alice who had Alzheimer's, and unfortunately she had to be placed in a home during the last years of her life. She was really mischievous and sometimes would like hatch up a plan to break out, but then they'd just bring a cab out front and drive her around. So then comes Monday, okay, and the president announces that he would be leaving the hospital at 6:30 that evening. Again, apparently only because he insisted, and look, it remains to be seen whether he is actually okay or not. I do have a feeling he will ultimately be okay because he is the president of the United States. He has access to everything.
And, like, we don't deserve it.
And, like, we don't deserve it. Well, we'll get to some of that. But it's to be clear, he's being pumped full of experimental treatments and steroids, which can make you seem better than you are. And he's, you know, accessing the very best that America has to offer, unlike the 210,000 Americans who've already lost their lives. But we don't know what'll happen next with him. His body is a rotten cesspool of fast food and bad karma. And I don't know. I don't think there's a vaccine for that. So it could still come up and bite him. But what we do know is that he really doesn't look good. He's so pallid. And then, like, okay, he comes forward yesterday with this just grotesque orange makeup where you could see the line on his face. Yeah. And for those of us who do makeup, we know that that's not the look, honey. That's not what you're going for.
Yeah, he looks like me on an average day in the summer of 2020.
When you are wearing orange makeup masks?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we only know what his face looks like because he staggered out on to the balcony, the Truman balcony outside the White House, and took off his fucking mask, showed us his makeup, and gasped out a few awful, remarkable words. Words like, he may now be immune to it, and don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your lives. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your lives. Okay, this is the thing that we all...
I'm immune, maybe.
This is a grotesquely offensive statement, of course. Of course it is.
10,000 people but, have died.
Oh, yeah, it's extremely dangerous.
And also, he's visibly and audibly still very impacted by it.
Yeah, he hasn't beat it. So,
If he didn't take off the mask and he was like, I'm strong, I'm doing well, I've got the mask on, welcome back me, and went in, we wouldn't have been able to see his belabored breathing.
That's what I mean.
Like, just keep the...
But this is just incredibly offensive. To so many people that are struggling with this, and irresponsible,
dangerous.
And dangerous. I wrote this down for later in my doc, but I haven't gotten there, and it feels like a good time to say there was a New York Times article, I believe, that talked about a study that showed that 37% of the world's coronavirus misinformation comes from Donald Trump.
Wow.
That's astounding.
Yeah.
And... So anyway, he said
amazing.
That.
Amazing. I mean, really, like, hats off to him. Because that's really. That's impressive.
It's powerful. You know? That's power. Yeah.
That's infamy. Anyway, he said those words despite looking and sounding like that. And then Claudia Conway, Kellyanne Conway's daughter and the hero of a young adult sci-fi novel, apparently, broke social media when she posted, guys, LMAO, he's not doing better. And, quote, he's so ridiculous, LOL. Apparently he's doing badly, and they're doing what they can to stabilize them. So I don't know. Claudia's been right in the past. Also, there's just a whole family drama there.
She's certainly in a position to have inside information. She's also a 15-year-old who's angry at her mom.
That's the next thing I was about to say. Look, I don't know. She's just... been accurate in the past. Like, she was accurate when she said my mom has coronavirus, but her mom actually gave her coronavirus.
Yeah.
So that's
which is
a nightmare.
Yeah, all the Conway stuff. I'm like, I get it, and she's got it's information.
She's
maybe
15.
Probably, but also like all of it seems to be leading towards like the reality show that the three Conways are gonna do.
Yeah, yeah. That's and, something like, that concerns me.
I just don't want to feed into it, but I appreciate her letting us know that the president is dying.
I agree with your sentiments, all of them completely. I debated about including this, but an interesting point of information.
No, I think you have.
Yeah, it's part of
but
it.
But I do think it's important to say, like, when we're talking about Claudia Conway. She's a child.
She's a child.
And she's clearly in a toxic house situation. And there's a certain amount of attention we do not need to be giving to this family.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's why I... Oh, sorry.
No. Please, go ahead.
That's why I'll push back a little bit on the they're clearly gunning for a reality show. Like, I think George is, and I think his wife is. I think they would do that. Claudia's too young for us to know. Like, she doesn't...
We
don't know what kind of person she is. And she doesn't. Yeah. She's 15. I did see a post from her earlier, like I think it might have been like it was months ago. I think it was back in August, where she was, you know, 1,000 years ago, where she was talking about wanting to get emancipated from her family and made the statement that, like, my dad is competent enough to, like, know that Trump is full of shit, but he and I disagree about everything, and, like, he's not, don't stand him. He's not a hero. Which made me think, okay, like, she might, like, I wish the best for her. You know?
That's like a sober, mature perspective.
Yeah.
Especially like at that age.
Yeah, for sure.
With both your parents, and being able to look at both and being like, well, one works for the president and is awful, and one doesn't and thinks he's awful, but they're both wrong.
Yeah.
And any of her like live audio where you can like hear her family in the background, it's just heartbreaking. And like, she's a kid. She's a kid.
People yelling and
she's
stuff.
She's a kid, and it really... It's hard.
Yeah.
It sucks to be.
But
yeah.
Back to your question, Robert, of whether or not the president will die. We don't know. If you look at the timeline of the virus, he's really kind of just getting started here. Many patients in his demographic show improvement before getting worse, especially when you're on steroids. The virus isn't linear. You know, he could be feeling better and not be. Who knows? But you get to be, you get to enjoy this moment. You get to, we have a whole video about this, so I don't need to talk about this too much. It's coming out soon. But like, there's many reasons this story is not getting shuffled away like a lot of stories do. The president might be dying. That's part of it. But also because we want this, we need this. And it's okay to feel like he might get like a little bit of a karmic punishment for his just consistent, constant, lifelong terrible behavior.
There's an element of like, I keep seeing the idea of like, we gotta, like, I hope he gets better so we can vote him out. And then he'll rot in prison. Like all this, like, and then he's going to face consequences for this and this and this and this. I don't know where those people get the idea that presidents will face consequences ever for anything they do.
Right.
This is a consequence that could actually happen, as opposed to him no longer being the president at some point and then starting a network and being successful at that, or, you know, going to Jimmy Carter's funeral and being respected there. Like all the things that we see presidents do after the fact. It's one of those things where it's like, this is a little treat. Maybe he'll actually see a little consequence.
Yeah.
Because whether or not he's voted out, I don't think he's going to be in prison. As much as that would be great.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen.
I mean, and that, like, there's a little bit of devil's advocate in me where Trump, on an objective level, deserves to go to prison. There is an argument that can be made that, like, being the country where the former guy in office goes to prison isn't a great precedent to start, which is complicated by the fact that he deserves to go to prison he's of all of the bad things that he's done. I think the thing I would prefer for him is for him to lose all of his money because of the massive financial crimes that he's committed and to have to get an apartment in, let's say, Lansing, Michigan, and work a day job or live on disability, you know, because he's probably is after this.
After this,
After this,
Lansing,
Michigan's pre-existing condition.
Place, first of all, don't hack.
I'm not shit talking Lansing. I'm just saying it's like that's like a normal place that people live, as opposed to living in a series of yachts and mansions.
It's where he would be miserable. The people that he champions, he actually despises.
Yes.
Yeah.
At
the beginning of this, there was a lot of theorizing, you know, that this was all a stunt to avoid the next debate to raise patriotic support.
Nah, that guy's got corona.
manipulate in some way. It's clear that he's got corona. And I never thought that personally because he's too obsessed with weakness. But you better believe that he will be trying to manipulate the messaging to his advantage. And in fact, apparently he spent his time in the hospital scheming ways to spin this, you know, because of course he did. This is from the Daily Beast. The president repeatedly claimed that once he recovers from the coronavirus, he'll be able to present himself as a conqueror of it, both personally and politically. The notion might seem far-fetched, considering the poor marks Trump received for his handling of the pandemic, but according to knowledgeable sources, the president insisted that this would be a campaign asset, as he'd be able to say, I know what people are going through. God, one of the sources recounted him saying, allies argued that this could help frame Trump as both resilient and empathetic, which would come in handy in a race where polling shows a wide empathy gap between him and former President Joe Biden. I mean, we already saw him trying to do it with the don't be afraid of COVID,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I don't
empathy
think it's
and humility.
Play.
But that is exactly what he's trying to do with that.
Oh,
I've
for sure.
been there. I've seen it. Look at me. You know?
Yeah, I mean, his attack on Biden was that Biden hasn't experienced the virus like him.
Exactly.
It's nonsense and weird. It's not, but also, like, you know, he's doing the thing where at the same time, don't worry about the virus. It's not a big deal. Also, I'm a superhero for having defeated it.
Yep.
Look at how strong and what a champion I am for having destroyed this virus.
What a powerful boy I am.
But also, and don't worry about it. It's a weak little virus.
Exactly.
It's the same fascist nonsense that we see.
He's also really leaning into it and, like, comparing COVID to the flu again. Today,
what?
Tweeting.
What?
Yep.
Katie,
today,
what the
oh, yeah.
fuck?
Oh,
flu,
yeah.
Here, let me
oh,
read
yeah.
this.
Oh,
flu
Cody,
season
you didn't
is
hear
coming
this.
Up.
God damn it.
Flu season is coming up. Many people every year, sometimes over 100,000, and despite the vaccine, die from the flu. Are we going to close down our country? No, we've learned to live with it, just like we're learning to live with COVID. In most populations, far less lethal.
Fuck.
First
this
off, that
man.
First sentence.
Yep.
God.
Flu season is coming up, exclamation point.
I see,
because
Twitter hid the tweet, because it spreads
Twitter hid the tweet, and that's why.
Because
which
it's
is
the
what
president
set off
lying
his,
about a pandemic again.
Again, which is what set off his thing being hidden, and that's why he started tweeting repeal section 23.
God
which,
damn
if
it.
You guys don't know what that is, basically it would make social media platforms responsible for the things posted on their platform and, like, mm-hmm. open to lawsuits, which means that actually if they repealed it, they would have to, like, ban people like him, or at least delete his tweets, which
there's
is
a lot
very
that would
funny.
Happen.
There's a lot, but
I mean, that's
this is too, again, a whole other section that you could do a whole thing on, and I'm just throwing that in there right now. But
one could argue the point, but he wants it. He wants that change made so that conservatives can sue Facebook over banning them. About
exactly.
Right. Like revisiting that. Law, like it's not completely unreasonable, but like it's nonsense.
But the
he's
thing
just
that
like,
he
I'm,
wants
I hate it.
Is
get
one
rid
thing.
Of it for me.
But like the reality is that would open him up for other things. Anyway, I'm going to end this section by this fucking news. Later this morning, he announced on Twitter that he's halting negotiations on a COVID relief bill until after the election. Nancy Pelosi is asking for $2.4 trillion to bail out poorly run, high crime Democrat states, money that is in no way related to COVID-19. We made a very generous offer of $1.6 trillion, and as usual, she's not negotiating in good faith. I am rejecting their request and looking to the future of our country. I've instructed my representatives to stop negotiating until after the election when, immediately after I win, we will pass a major stimulus bill that focuses on hardworking Americans and small businesses. So again, that whole empathy gap, he's really trying to, like, close the empathy gap here.
Yeah.
Unreal.
This is unbelievable. I mean, it's believable.
Yeah. It's very believable. It's believable in a way, but it's kind of unbelievable because he should know that, like, if you give people money, they'll know that you did it and they'll like
me
you more.
That you won't give me money until I vote for you, you fuck.
And right, I mean, and like framing it like that, where it's like, I'll do it if you vote for me. Like, it's wild because also people know that if they vote for Joe Biden, he'll do it.
He'll do it better.
Like,
I hope.
It's so bizarre. One thing I want to point out, like Jeff Stein was pointing out, some key consequences of this stimulus not going through. Close to 30 million jobless people to permanently see an income cut of 50%. 40% of restaurants face closure in about 6 months. Tens of thousands of airline workers will be laid off. No stimulus checks, no rental relief money, no more funding for testing or tracing, no Medicaid or COBRA, even though COBRA sucks money. It's just like wild. No money for schools to reopen safely. All the things that people want to happen. He's just saying, nope, but vote for me and maybe. And he's the polls. I don't want to be like a poll guy, but like people do not like him.
No.
Or how he is handling this.
They kind of despise him unless they are members of his cult, which does speak to a lot of people, but not.
Not enough.
Not enough. Hopefully. We'll see.
Well,
so
yeah,
that's
we'll see.
That's my update. We had to do a little break.
We're going to ads breaks. Yes?
We got it. Ads breaks now.
It's ads breaks. It's times.
Cool. Then we'll be back. Bye.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
There are no problems. Everything's perfect.
Are we back from break now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Cody, what you got?
I don't know.
Tell us all the things, Cody. What's happening?
Nothing's happening. Everything's fine and going on great. In regards, I wanted to make a quick note in regards to another COVID-19 relief bill.
Hell yeah.
74% of voters want the Senate to take on this bill before the SCOTUS nominee.
I mean, that 74... seems like a minority of the country. 74% is less than 25 or whatever.
I mean,
percent,
25
right?
to 30, yeah.
I bet even more than that wants it.
I would not take that bet because I feel like you would win.
I think that I'm right. It's 75.4% of voters, but, you know, most of us don't vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of us vote, but people don't vote.
Well,
anyway.
No, I mean, like 61% of voters voted last election. I just learned yesterday.
61% of voters voted?
Last election. That's what I'm pretty sure I read. So that's... we can keep up the quality of our journalism here.
Okay, Cody, continue.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring it back to that is that the final tweet in his announcement that he's not going to do a stimulus bill reads, "We are leading the world in economic recovery, and the best is yet to come," in all caps. And that phrase in all caps makes me think of Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Nice. Hell yeah.
The president's son's wife? Girlfriend? Fiance? Girlfriend. I don't know.
Crime buddy.
Crime lady.
That's what a fuck buddy is if you're a member of the Trump family.
Right?
Because Trump they don't have sex. They excrete from their cloacas in a pile of stolen lucre.
Mm-hmm. I saw that on a documentary.
Yep.
The documentary's now banned, but yeah. you can check it
was
out
it was very pornographic. Let's
oh yeah, 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 yeah. Dude, yeah. I do not recommend it, but no. Very interesting still. So this is just a story that kind of like got under the radar. Because again, like what there was the taxes, the debate, then the president might be dying, and that's where a lot of the focus has
been. I mean, I have to be honest. I know that this is a story you're about to tell, and I don't know the details of it.
Fun. Beautiful.
Okay. Talking about under excellent. The radar, I was like, nope, not going to dig into this one. Go ahead, please.
Well, so about 2 years ago, Guilfoyle left. She left her beautiful job at the beautiful Fox News Network. She claims to have left by her own accord. This was around the time, I believe, that she and Don Jr. Started criming together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crime,
criming in each other's pants. Like, is, I believe what they were doing,
wiggling around like little worms in a bed.
Mm-hmm.
They bred in the traditional Trump way, which is they again excreted from their cloacas in a pile of gold stolen by the Nazis.
I thought they just touched butts.
That's part of it.
That's part
their
of it.
Their cloacas
yeah.
are in their butts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and then they leave the room and they don't speak. They don't speak during a really long dinner.
No, and then a child gestates inside the puddle. It's a puddle.
And well, it looks like a child. It's not a real child.
No, no, no. Of course not. Oh, it's God, like the child in that movie Vivarium. And it grows up into a soulless monster.
Yeah,
it looks exactly like.
So that's a little. Donnie biology Jr. lesson.
Again, do not watch the documentary. It will terrify you for years to come.
Absolutely not.
Do not.
And it's illegal in 31 states presently.
Yes. Yeah. If you have to, make sure that you're not in one of those states. But
yeah. One of these moments, we're going to let Cody finish the story.
Sorry.
No, I mean, I'm just as bad. Go ahead, Cody. Yeah.
I mean, it's a short story, but it's gross.
Sorry.
It's
just I enjoyed the way you phrased that.
Well, okay. So it was alleged that Guilfoyle actually, and this is not from this recent story, but that she left because she was forced out because of sexual harassment. Because Fox News is a cesspool of sexual harassment and will be forever and has been since all time.
Wait, did she commit or was she a victim?
Commit.
Okay.
That's a good question. But yes, it absolutely does scan for her.
Also, everybody knows that she was married to California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom,
yes.
Right? I did not. Holy shit!
Yeah,
not that long ago.
Yeah,
you can find photo shoots of them together. Yeah. It's bizarre.
I like to bring that up in many conversations, but
we are ruled by an incestuous warren of demons. That rules.
That part. Cody, sir.
Oh God, no! Okay. So she, it was alleged that sexual harassment claims were made, and that's sort of why she was forced out. There were no real details about this, and again, it sort of like slowly disappeared. The details are out, and aside from her trying to cover this up, Which would be a whole other thing. I'm just going to read the behavior. And,
I'm scared.
Okay, so this is about a woman that was hired in 2015. She's her assistant. According to a dozen well-informed sources familiar with her complaints, the assistant alleged that Guilfoyle, her direct supervisor, subjected her frequently to degrading, abusive, and sexually inappropriate behavior. Among other things, she said that she was frequently required to work at Guilfoyle's New York apartment while the Fox host displayed herself naked, and was shown photographs of the genitalia of men with whom Guilfoyle had had sexual relationships. The draft complaint also alleged that Guilfoyle spoke incessantly and luridly about her sex life, and on one occasion demanded a massage of her bare thighs. Other times, she said, Guilfoyle told her to submit to a Fox employee's demands for sexual favors, encouraged her to sleep with wealthy and powerful men, asked her to critique her naked body, demanded that she share a room with her on business trips, required her to sleep over at her apartment, and exposed herself to her, making her feel deeply uncomfortable.
My God.
Good Lord.
And
it's really
of paragraph.
You know, it's really upsetting that I didn't look at this story. It's really upsetting that this is something that goes under the radar because the stigma of, I mean, a lot of sexual assault is perpetrated by men against women, for sure.
For sure.
But there is a lot of this kind of stuff that happens, and men are mocked when they come forward with their stories of abuse. And case in point, we did not latch on to this collectively, this story.
No,
you know how we did. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but it is so traumatic for the people that she worked with and abused.
If
this was a man, this would be, you know, everybody would be talking about it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just Trump stuff. It's all of them. It's I don't know if it'll even resurface or be brought up at all. Probably not, but
it should.
Well, I'll bring it up on Even More News later this week.
I mean, yeah. It's just the kind of thing that, like, it slips by and you want to at least mention it because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah.
People are always like tweeting or saying, you know, like, this wouldn't happen if women were in power.
Right, which
we have a fucked up system that enables this kind of abuse, and more men are in power, more men take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Women are just as capable of the same abuse within the system that we have built.
My
point.
Right. Hire more women guards tweet, right?
Yeah, there's something. It's not of zero benefit to increase representation within the system as it currently exists. But the problem with the system that as it currently exists is that power ruins human beings. And it's why all of this happens, because most of these people, even if they wanted to, wouldn't be able to do and get away with the things that they were doing if they were not in positions of power. And so while representation is important, as long as we continue to give people power in the way that we presently do, we will continue to see people committing crimes like this because power is it ruins human beings.
We teach that to children.
We sure do, but not adults.
It's not adults. It's wild. There's so many things like that that people dismiss. Like, well, that's kid shit. We teach kids shit because it's like the fundamental things that we want them to learn. Money is the root of all evil. Power corrupts, like all this kind of stuff. It's basic. It's basic stuff. So I don't know. Give kids power or something.
Yeah, let's make a random 9-year-old the dictator for like 3 years, and then overthrow him in an incredibly vicious coup. Like, yeah, let's give it a shot. Why not? Fuck it.
When it inevitably corrupts that child, we will take that.
Then
child
we blame
out.
The child as if it's the child's fault that we invested absolute power in a 9-year-old.
Exactly.
What
Good
else
job,
you got
kid.
For us, Cody?
just a couple, just little things I wanted to mention that have been sort of popping in and popping out.
Are they uplifting? Am I going to feel really good about the country I live in and the people running it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
That's a stirring endorsement from Cody.
Yeah.
The man with no spoons. It's a stirring and.
Yes. I can use stir with a fork or something, or like a knife. You can stir with.
Yeah, there's a variety of tools, actually.
Stir with your finger if it's like, I don't know, gazpacho, I guess. It's not like a hot machete. Soup. Stir. Mm-hmm. I got it's over there. I can get it.
Yeah.
Tell me the stories.
It's not even a story. It's just the U.S. is now, unless otherwise exempt for some other extraneous reason, immigrants aren't allowed in the United States if they're affiliated with the Communist Party.
What?
Of course. Quote,
or any other totalitarian party. Specifically, communists are not allowed. And I just thought that was interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. Why would they be, those filthy communists?
See, there you go.
Keep them out.
That's right. That's Robert Evans right there.
Yeah. The only extremists I want in my country are far-right extremists who have never, for example, detonated a truck bomb next to a daycare.
Hmm.
Yeah, keep them in.
Hmm. Keep them in.
Keep them in.
Keep them in. Give them more guns.
Woof.
Let the president compliment them or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it.
Oh.
So there's also just this small thing, and this might actually make you laugh a little bit, Sophie. We're all familiar with James O'Keefe and Project Veritas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
Robert's laughing, so I'm sold.
Sorry.
Yes, I understand. James O'Keefe recently did a piece in Minneapolis about how Ilhan Omar and her campaign, they're ballot harvesting illegally, and he has this whole expose about it. Where
do they get them from the creek, like the president talked about?
Right, yeah. You'll find them in the creek. You'll find
That's where you harvest the ballots down.
Where else
the creek.
Did he say? It was weird. It was like the creek and then some other weird place.
Yeah.
I forget. Anyway. What a weirdo. So it's this video that purports to give evidence that they're engaging in illegal ballot harvesting. And I just have to point out that the video starts with James O'Keefe looking like off in the distance, looking at the skyline of Minneapolis behind him. He's like, and here I am at the scene of the crime. And he points to the entire city. It's just very, very funny. He's such a dork.
Oh, no. Robert's laugh is broken.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Continue.
But.
That made me laugh. Good one,
Katie. So the guy in the video who's saying that there's this ballot harvesting going on, aside from the fact that ballot harvesting was legal in the area during like this like 3 month period of time, because everything in James O'Keefe's video is like, and this is illegal, and there's no evidence in the video because that's how he does his deal. But a guy came forward and said that he was offered $10,000 to lie in the video about all this stuff that he said. It's just a classic, I guess, what would you call it? He got O'Keefe'd. He O'Keefe'd himself. He got Veritas'd around. I don't know. Because every single time Project Veritas does something like this, it blows up like, look at the wide open. They're tearing this wide open.
Yeah.
And you watch it and you're like, wait, what does the video even say? Because it's deceptively edited and sort of portrayed in a way where, like, there's a bombshell, it's illegal, when it's, like, not illegal, whatever he's talking about. And that blows up in right-wing media, and then the follow-up of actually, because it's, like, this Koch-funded project, of course they're going to offer people 10 grand to lie for them, that doesn't quite do as well. It's surprising that Project Veritas is still even around with how often they get discredited. They're the same people who sent somebody to the Washington Post during the Roy Moore debacle to pretend.
Right.
When they sent somebody to like lie and say, oh, he also molested me. And the Washington Post like actually did like journalism and figured out that she was clearly lying. And it was just a fraud situation to try to prove that the Washington Post doesn't do the work that they actually do. But he's still out and about doing this kind of stuff. And I just wanted to bring a little bit of attention to Mr. James O'Keefe.
Thank you.
Despite his boast that he had 300 ballots in the car, he said the actual number was closer to 20. because of various court decisions, so-called ballot harvesting, collecting more than the statutory limit of 3 ballots was permitted during a 5-week period this summer. All the stuff just piling up. I look forward to James saying it's bullshit and then not being able to explain why.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to this ad break we got to do right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
God,
Katie.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah.
These transitions. Oh. Be right back.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything's so dumb, 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 dumb.
You know, we're, you know, we're back. Products, and you know what products mean, is the expenditure of financial resources. And you know what financial resources mean? Taxes.
Yes.
Taxes.
Got it.
Taxes. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about taxes. Because in the course of a week, last week, the New York Times drop a bombshell story about Trump's last, like, 15 years of taxes. We had the debate happen, which was obviously a big deal. And then we had the president get sick with the plague that he pretended didn't exist. So a lot happened, and we kind of moved past the tax stuff, even though for years everyone was talking about, like, what the fuck is in his taxes? You know, around 2016, that was a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. Mentioned quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about what got revealed and then, like, whether or not it's going to matter. So one of the neat things that happened is we learned that the president paid $750 in federal income tax in 2016, which The Atlantic noted was less than one night stay in a suite at the Trump International Hotel in D.C. Another thing that the New York Times revealed is that he was currently that this audit thing that he's been talking about, like the fight he's having with the IRS.
Audit thing.
Yeah, it's been going on for a decade, this fight, because you can keep shit like that bouncing around for a long time if you have real lawyer money. It's about the fact that he got a $72.9 million tax refund after declaring massive losses. And it's probably fraudulent, although not definitely fraudulent yet, because, again, they're still litigating this. But if it were if the ruling went against him, he could be on the hook for more than $100 million. Which he might not have liquid. We don't really know. So a lot of fun stuff was revealed. Among them, the fact that he made like more than $400 million from The Apprentice, like $430 something million. And he put it all into horrible investments, like buildings and golf courses and stuff that lost that based on what he filed. I should say, not necessarily horrible investments, because obviously there's people who make great livings owning golf courses, but based on how he filed them in his taxes, horrific investments, because they lost more money than that. Yeah.
So part of what is this whole story, and I'm sure you're going to get to this, is the fact that our system is designed in such a way where these fucking wealthy fucks can get away with shit. And what's difficult about this story is like, there's a certain amount of like depreciation is expected in properties and stuff. So when you talk about his losses and stuff, it's hard to know how much you're actually losing. But fair to say he's losing money.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
But anyway, but it all goes to the point of like, we don't know how broke he is.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't know if he is broke. He might just be a shady rich guy who hides a lot of money. We do know that he claims after investing that $400 million that he lost like somewhere in the neighborhood of like $500 million, which is why he's able to get so many write-offs. Now, again, the resolution of his tax audit is probably clear. His revenue from The Apprentice and from all of his licensing deals is basically gone now, at least in rich guy terms. And within the next 4 years, more than $300 million in personal loans are coming due, which some would say is a potentially catastrophic financial situation that the president is in.
Some could describe it like that. Yeah, some could say that.
Some would say potentially problematic if he were to win re-election and all those things come due while he's in office.
Yeah. Now,
anyway,
the New York Times article on all of this is very extensive and maybe longer than most people will want to read, because fuck it, like how much time do you really have these days? Like there's a lot going on. If you would like to be well informed and read a shorter article, I found The Atlantic did 3 interpretations of Trump's tax returns, which summarizes the key stuff and brings in expert commentary and is a readable length. So I might recommend people take a look at that. Although obviously if you've got the time, the full New York Times article is well worth it. It's a very responsibly reported piece. I'm going to quote from that Atlantic piece though. When I talked with several tax experts recently, including some with direct knowledge of Trump's past tax records, 3 somewhat overlapping interpretations emerged: incompetence, malfeasance, and criminality. Those are the 3 possible explanations that either, one, he's just an unbelievably bad businessman, which some people are, and he's been able to keep shit afloat by basically robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like, there's a number of ways that he can do that. One of them is he paid like $700,000 in consulting fees to his daughter, which he claimed is a business deduction, which is something that his dad used to do. So that's pretty likely.
They call allowance.
Yeah. He borrowed a lot of money and he lost it on investments, and then he took huge deductions on interest, depreciation, and operating expenses, which massively reduced his federal income tax burden. He would declare bankruptcy pretty regularly, renegotiate loans, and that's all stuff you can do without breaking the law. But where he probably broke the law, where he definitely broke the law, actually, it seems, is that when a bank writes off your debt, which, again, he was very good at getting them to do, the discharged debt is taxable as income. You have to report that to the IRS, and Trump didn't, which is, you know, a crime.
Crime guy.
Now, he eventually started to run into issues getting normal sources of income to lend to him directly, which is why he went to a mix of international billionaires and Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank.
Deutsche Bank is a very august and respected and old pile of crimes covered by very nice masonry. But like Deutsche Bank is where you go if you're someone with a lot of money that you're committing crimes with. That is the bank. That or like I think what's that? There's one British bank that's similar. But like Deutsche Bank is like the fucking crime guy bank, and that's where Trump has done a lot of business. And obviously it's very opaque, and there's a good chance in 10 years, you know, we'll finally have a reasonable understanding of everything he was up to, because he's got the money to hire people who are good at ducking this shit. But yeah, so it's his cases are very complicated. We can't say that he was engaged, 100% engaged in an illegal scheme based on the money, but it really looks like, to a lot of people, he was doing some money laundering. So
yeah,
all of his golf properties declared losses of more than $315 million since 2000, which would mean that for someone who's supposedly a good businessman, he's pouring a baffling amount of money into a business that's suffering like weirdly huge losses, which is the kind of thing you see when, say, Russian oligarchs are handing you piles of money that they want laundered, you know? Like, that's a thing that happens a lot. We don't know that it's happening here, but it sure looks like it might
be. Well, I will say that something that I'm remembering now, I believe the New York Times article is a part of a series.
Yeah, there's other articles, sure, yeah.
But that are still coming that we don't know what else they are about to reveal.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's so there's, you know, there's been responses from the Trump campaign to this. One of them is that from his one of his money people, one of the people that he hires to think about money for him, told the New York Times basically, "Hey, the president's actually paid tens of millions of dollars in personal taxes, and this is bullshit." What it seems like he was probably doing is conflating income taxes with other federal taxes that Trump pays, like Social Security, Medicare, taxes for his household employees. And it's sure, he probably does pay tens of millions in those taxes. He's not paying federal income tax because he's using a bunch of shady math to avoid it. You can't avoid paying, say, payroll tax and shit to some extent. Right.
Also, he did pay taxes in other countries.
Yeah, that's a very fun thing. That's a very fun thing that I want to talk about here. So, when it comes to other places where he's made money recently, there's also some really shady stuff. First off, there's the his Palm Beach property, Mar-a-Lago, started getting a bunch of new members in 2015 that made another $5 million a year for the president. In 2017, Billy Graham paid almost $400,000 to his hotel in D.C. For an event that they were doing. And he still has some profitable properties overseas, about $73 million in revenue. A lot of that was from his golf properties in Scotland and Ireland, but some of it came from licensing deals in countries with, like, you know, dictators. $3 million from the Philippines, $2.3 million from properties in India, and $1 million from properties in Turkey. And that Turkish deal was negotiated right as Trump pulled U.S. troops out of Rojava. So that's fun.
There.
So the thing you might say, and the thing I think people have defended him by saying, is that, like, $1 million, a billionaire wouldn't make a deal like that just to make $1 million. That's chump change to him. But it's not chump change to a guy who's basically broke.
Yeah, need money, that's a lot.
Which is why we have, prior to now, I mean, actually not always prior to now, really the reason that it has become habitual for presidents to disclose shit in their taxes, about their taxes, is that Nixon was found paying like $790 in income tax during one of his election campaigns, and it was a big scandal. And his income was $200,000 a year.
Speaking of Richard Nixon, another thing that really just got under the radar, Trump and Nixon wrote each other for years in the 80s.
Well, no, I didn't hear about this. That's...
What?
Yeah, they released letters that they have had in the Nixon presidential library. They wrote each other back and forth. Trump, like, complimented him on, like, what a hero he is and, like, how, like, what an amazing, like, resilient man he is. And they would go back and forth. This was, like, 10 years after Nixon resigned in disgrace.
Again, very fun context.
Oh, unbelievable. My God. Yeah. Wow. It's from like a week and a half ago. So, of course, it's like 3 years ago, really.
Years.
But I saw that and it passed by and it's just like, it's perfect. Of course he did. Of course he wrote Nixon, not as a kid or not as a young man, like when he was president, but after he'd resigned in disgrace. It's perfect and it's poetry. And I had to bring that up. Go on.
God damn.
Yeah. Yep.
That's very funny. That's just a good time.
Isn't it just a great time for us all?
A good time is all that is. So, you know, the president and his crimes. So the question with the president and his crimes, other than how many of them are they? Are they big? Did they hurt to do? The question is, does it matter, right? And for this, I'm going to turn to 538, who, for all of my antipathy towards Nate Silver himself, is really good at doing analyses like this and collecting a lot of information on like whether or not people give a shit about certain things, which is useful because I think we all have gotten kind of locked into this habitual thing that like, oh, nothing matters, right? The truth doesn't matter. Like, what happens doesn't matter. He's completely immune to everything. And there's a lot of evidence that that's not really true. I mean, we'll see how the fucking election goes, but right now the polls have definitely, like, they've moved a lot, actually. Finally!
Because also, Biden's been consistent leading Trump for a long, long, long time. Forever.
By several times what Clinton was leading by at her biggest.
And, like, if you compare, like, the fluctuation, there's been really no fluctuation with Biden. Against Trump, it's consistent across the board until now, and the fluctuation is that he's doing even better.
Yeah, a lot better. So in May of 2019, that's when the New York Times published their first report, big report on Trump's taxes, that he'd lost about like $1.2 billion between 1985 and 1994. And there was public polling done by Politico Morning Consult about whether or not this story would change people's opinions on the president. And the poll found that 54% of voters thought Trump had been very successful or somewhat successful as a businessman, while only 30% thought he'd been bad at it. But when they were presented with this information from the Times story, the share of voters who thought he'd been a good businessman dropped from 54% to 43%, which is significant.
That is. And it should be more, but that is...
Yeah, that's really noteworthy.
Yeah,
and about 20% of independent voters said there's a strong or somewhat strong chance that new revelations about like his financial life could impact people's views of him. And that was like a Fox News poll. Now, there's been some other polls, including one from the University of Maryland, which I'm actually just going to read you the summary of the poll from the University of Maryland. Quote, focusing on President Trump, we find via a national survey that many Americans are unaware he was born into great wealth. And the number is like half of Americans didn't realize he was
really
born rich. Yeah, fucking stunning. This misperception increases support for Trump, mediated through beliefs that he is both empathetic and good at business. We supplement our observational analysis with an experiment treating respondents with information regarding the role Trump's father played in his career. This information leads respondents to rate the president more negatively on both empathy and business ability. These findings suggest that correcting information about candidate characteristics can change the minds of even loyal partisans.
That's wild. That's
stunning, right? Like, it's like half of the country. Yeah.
That's the one thing, like... This is a consistent thing, though, with Trump. Like, there is a misconception with him, even about like thing like policy things, like pre-existing conditions. People have no idea that he's like doing the opposite of what they think. But man, he was a lot of wealth. He started with a lot of wealth. That's wild.
Yeah,
and he's consistently fucked up that wealth.
He sure did.
That seems like a real indictment of like the media in general.
Yeah, it's bad at its job, we in the media are.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that among independents nationally, this is during the 2016 election, 48% preferred Trump on the economy versus 43% for Clinton. And among independents in Florida, Michigan, and Wisconsin, all preferred Trump to Clinton on the economy by double-digit margins, which is probably a big part of why he won, because the economy is often generally number one or two for most voters, right? So it matters, actually. It there's at least a good chance that it will matter. You know, the data suggests that actually voters give a shit about this.
Yeah.
Well, that's helpful.
He's dying before our eyes.
Yeah, he's also dying.
And his irresponsibility and the things he's saying, it seems like possibly perception is coming crashing down around him.
Yeah, it might be.
It might be. The only age group that's still like into him is, I think, like 50 to 64 or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Terrible age group.
Yeah, well. But like everyone's excited for Biden.
Riding for
Biden.
Biden
our time.
But also, this is all stuff that we thought 4 years ago. So don't let it not.
Yeah. Every time I start to go down that path, I'm like, I don't know. I don't fucking know.
We all have PTSD.
None of this stuff that's currently happening is good for him. I'll say that. But
And he knows that. Like, that's why he's very clearly just trying to steal the election.
Side note, Robert, is this all we're doing for today for this?
Yeah. I mean, I'll give a little update from Portland since people are curious. And hopefully this will remain true after there's some right-wing rally at a Red Robin today at 5 p.m. So that might not go well, but I don't think, hopefully it won't be a big deal. Things are okay, comparatively. Like, the cops are still pretty awful, and a lot of nice people are dealing with some really ugly charges. The protests have kind of died down to an extent. There's still usually at least one or two, sometimes more things happening every week. Mm-hmm. But they've been kind of at a lower ebb, which is fine and pretty normal for something that's been going on this long. Our mayor, Ted Wheeler, who's terrible, had a big roundtable discussion on white supremacy with the city council as part of his bid to remain the mayor. And he interrupted it on accident by forgetting to mute himself and dictating text messages for his reelection campaign, which is both a crime and incredibly dumb. and in fact, I'm going to send Daniel that link so he can just play us out with that beautiful audio because it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's behind 11 points, according to a recent poll. So fuck that guy. Also, there was a really cool rally in Seattle where like hundreds of Black Bloc anarchists rallied. It was a big old surprise. It was very disciplined. The messaging was really solid. It was like a really good example of like pointing at like the very consistent messaging was that like we are anti-fascist and we are for Black Lives Matter. And those two can't be extricated from each other, because if you're against fascism, you have to support Black Lives Matter because it's fundamentally a movement against a fascist authoritarian strain of race-based violence in the United States. It was a good rally, important messaging. I don't think it made the news because a bunch of anarchists did something that was not easy to propagandize negatively, but pretty good news compared to the horrible news that's been happening for weeks. Yeah.
Pretty good news.
That's pretty
good
news.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So maybe it'll all be shit after this. Who knows? But
for this week, we're focusing on pretty good news.
Yeah, for the next hour and 45 minutes, at least, until that right-wing rally. Who knows?
Well, I think that's it for us today. You guys can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Sexy photos on the Insta. Check out my stories and my reels and my TikToks. I don't TikTok. And, you know, I don't know, hang in there. Fuck.
Yeah, hang in there and check
and
out.
And fuck.
Yeah. Ted Wheeler, would you mind playing us out?
With that in mind, we'd like to open up the discussion with a few thoughts.
By the way, are you going through my emails on my campaign email account? It seems like there's a lot of emails there that are relevant, and I don't know if they're going to your folder as well,
Mayor, I think you need to mute yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I apologize. It was multitasking.
No worries.
Did anybody have any further questions?
Everything's so dumb and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Love it.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.